Thank you very much, Minister Keith. I'm also blessed to be here with you all, activists and people who care about your community and your families. I also want to appreciate Dr. Tosco for the way that she has conducted herself, helping to lead us forward in order to make a difference. Clearly, it's very important that as we move forward, we have a clear strategy and goal in mind in terms of what we want to accomplish. But it's also very important that we understand in a more deep way how these systems work that we're up against. Because if we're going to be effective against them, it's going to have to come through understanding them and confronting them in some ways that essentially haven't been confronted before.
That's right.
Because they've been affecting us for a while, but they're still doing what they're doing. So before I get to the question about the Caravan for Justice, I just want to mention a little bit about BART and throw a little bit more into what Dr. Tosco was trying to raise for us, having to do with a little understanding of the system of BART. And some of you probably know this, and I'm probably repeating myself, and again, I don't want to go too long, but BART is not built to serve urban communities. It's not built to serve Oakland.
That's right.
BART is a regional agency, and it's built to bring people from the suburbs to jobs in downtown Oakland and San Francisco. So you can look at the way that it's constructed with where the parking lots are for the stations and where the stations are that are in stations and there are no parking lots because they expect people to drive their cars to those parking lots and then come to those stations where they're not to get off to go to work. So it's been very clear where BART runs through a lot of our communities. It destroyed 7th Street in West Oakland, one of the strongest black business areas that there's been in this city. So there's so many examples of what BART has been done to us because of the way the system is constructed. So when we think about doing demonstrations where it might have the most impact on BART and give us the most coverage that we want, maybe we ought to think about some of those suburban stations where we would go out there and block those parking lots and block people from coming into those stations. We are very sure that we're going to get coverage for that because we are affecting the community that put BART in its place and that BART really serves. So let's think about that. The other thing that I think that we ought to think about, and this will take some research as everything that we do, we ought to start out with some research to get some clear understanding of what's going on in order to make a difference. BART gets a lot of its money from the state and the federal government. And it is now trying to get money from the state and the federal government. Now, we have a few legislators who could add to some of those bills to say, you won't get your money unless you do this or do that, unless you change what's happening with your police policy. Just putting that on the bill, whether it survives the legislature or not, is going to shock BART.
That's right.
So we want to also investigate those possibilities. So there's a lot of ways that we can move forward. Let me just say one last thing about demonstrations. There are a lot of us, particularly a lot of our young black men, who already have a criminal record. So if we're doing a demonstration where we're expecting them to get arrested, we're asking them to take on more than other folks are, because there is such a thing as three strikes. And even a strike like that, a nonviolent demonstration, could tragically and drastically affect the rest of their lives. So we've got to understand that a lot of these people that we want to turn out may not turn out for reasons that we haven't thought of yet, and we ought to consider that as we reach out to bring more people in. Now let me say a little bit, and I'm going to take a little bit of permission from the minister to give you a little bit of history before I go into this, because he gave some beautiful history about this country and justice within this country. And I think some of that has to do with what we're up against with the state of California and the Tri-Caucasus. So I want to lay out a little bit of the history so we're clear about what we are attempting to do with meeting with the Tri-Caucasus. One of the things that I'm sure you are also aware of is that a lot of what goes on, particularly at the state level and the federal level, has to do with corporations and corporations' money. The budget that we are faced with is due to the fact that the Republicans and a lot of the Democrats who are controlled by the corporations don't want to tax the corporations. They have them pay for what they should be paying on a fair basis. Proposition 13 skewed that way away from where it was before and wasn't fair before. But they switched the taxes away from the corporations onto homeowners. And that's part of what we're facing here within this community. And the reasons why corporations control the legislature is because of something that wasn't even adjudicated. It was a decision that was made and never challenged that made corporations get the rights of personhood. You know what I'm talking about? When I say the rights of personhood, that means a corporation has the right of freedom of speech. That means the corporation can do a lot of things because it's in the law considered to be a person. Where did that come from? Why would you consider a corporation, a legal entity, collection of people, to be a person? That's totally unlike a person. Well, there happened to be a case in California against the Santa Fe Railroad where a federal judge, in an opening remark, having nothing to do with the case, just in an opening remark in this case, said that, of course, corporations have personhood. And then he went on to deal with the case. And from then on, the law has dealt with corporations as having personhood. It was never up as a decision for the judge. He just made this as a preamble to what he was saying. And that has continued on. And now you have the situation where corporations who give money to politicians to keep them in office and essentially decide what their agenda is and what they're about is considered to be free speech because the corporation has personhood. So this is all built on a house of cards. None of it has real substance to it. There is no reason in the world why an entity that can live forever. A corporation doesn't die like a human being. So why should it have personhood? It can last forever. But it now has freedom of speech and control over property and all these other kinds of things built on a preamble to a decision that had nothing to do with what that was about. So when we're talking about dealing with the California legislature, we're talking about dealing with individuals who get most of their money to be in office from corporations. And the corporations are doing those things that corporations do, grasping for power, building up power, building their control of the market, building their control over communities to decide who can live or die. And what do the police departments do? They serve the needs of the corporation, number one, not the needs of the people. So that's what we're up against when we go to Sacramento. Despite that, our trip a couple of weeks ago to Sacramento to deal with the Tri-Caucus, in my opinion, was historical for the state of California. We've got opportunities, no question, that we've got to take advantage of. Sister Tosco spoke of the opportunities with the unions of BART being out, and we ought to begin to raise our own activities around that opportunity. There are also opportunities to make a difference at the state level because of what's going on with the budget crisis at the state level. For the first time, the governor of California is talking about releasing people from prison rather than building more jails. There are now people who are seriously talking about if we drop the death penalty in California, not because it's the right thing to do, not because it's injustice, but because it will save $1 billion if we drop the death penalty. So there are avenues that are opening up. Teachers are attacking the system because of the budget. Health people are attacking the state system because of the budget. Employees all over the state are attacking the system because of the budget. It is very timely, historically timely, that we bring our efforts there also. So we had people at that hearing who were from all the town halls, the 20 town halls that have been going on in Northern California, and some people coming from the middle of California, and we've got huge opportunities to bring people from Southern California to be a part of that caucus. So when we sat down with the legislators who represented the leadership of the African American caucus, the Hispanic caucus, the Asian caucus, and there was one Caucasian person who was there who's the chair of the environmental caucus. And we talked to them about environmental racism and environmental injustice. And he said, I am so happy that you are all here because I wanted to make the acquaintance with you so that we can begin to push and change. When the brothers, Minister Keith and others, sat down with Jerry Brown, he didn't say, you guys are wrong for wanting me to get involved in the Oscar Grant situation or the injustice in our community. You're not wrong, but I've got all these jail guard folks and all these pro-police folks, and they're going to put money into my campaign to make me governor. So if I'm going to go your way, you've got to show an equal force on the other side to compensate what I'm going to lose from them. He said, make me do it. And politicians have been doing that for a long time. Make me do it because my intention is to stay in office. And I'm not going to risk that by even doing the right thing if that's a risk for that. But we are now building up the kind of forces that can offset that. And that was what this meeting was the start of. So it was historical, and we need to sustain it because Brother Andre is right. The system is set up to frustrate us, to wear us out, to make us go to meetings, to drag the energy out of us, and to basically do away with what we're trying to do. But as I can see from all of you that are here today, that's not happening with us. We're going to keep on keeping on, and we're going to continue to make the difference with your name.
Thank you. I would just add to my brother's sharing of that trip to Sacramento is that the tri-caucus members told us they had never been together as a group of caucuses on the issues that most impact our community, and actually had an audience of people from the community. This was historic. They had not sat down together and said, these are the things that we must strategize over to bring justice in the community. That hadn't happened. Neither had it happened that the pressure of the community have ever said to them, you must come in unity to legislate in a way that is best for the communities that you serve. And so we're on the verge of something very historic. With the Panthers, it was rifles.
Yes.
With us, it was a call for justice.
Yes. Amen.
And when we walked in, not with the caravan shook them up all together. That was earthquake-like. But when we walked in with our 30 or so person delegation, when we were in the room meeting, other people in the state government building were so curious about what are 30 and or so black and brown people doing here. They in order, they in suits, they're taking care of business, and they're in that room. And when we came out of the room, they were out there just wondering if they could have been a part. And so the great blessing is we are all a part by our onward participation in the Caravan for Justice. We're just getting started. We go back at the end of July. You'll get the exact date soon. It will be either the 28th or 29th of July. We're going to check the legislative calendar to see if one day is better than the next. But mark your time. and know that we're organizing with guests like those we have today that I want to bring before you that not only are in the fight to abolish the death penalty, but they bore so many facts about Mr. Orloff. Their words to me bore witness why we wanted Orloff out of office in the first place. So please join me in receiving from the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, our sisters Delaine and Natasha.